So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
A number of years ago, on a Christmas Eve, a friend of mine who wasn't really a churchgoer of much sort, who always said to me, I don't go to church because I'm afraid the building's going to come down, you know, around my ears. Well, it never really did for anybody who stopped going to church. But he had an unusual circumstance, and what happened was a vein in his esophagus had broken, and he began to throw up blood and spit, and they passed out and everything. Of course, they rushed him to the hospital and put him right in ICU, thinking to themselves, well, there's nothing really that we can do, you know, and it sort of stopped on itself and sealed itself up. And I went the next day on Christmas to go see him up in the ICU, and he was sitting there looking quite normal. And he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I have had a near-death experience. I says, yeah, you certainly have. And he says, the good Lord saved me. I says, well, I'm impressed the fact that you gave him credit for it. And he said to me afterwards, he says, you know what, I need to start going to church. And I says, yeah, you know, that's a really good idea. So on Sunday morning next, when he was out of the hospital and recuperated, he came to church. And he hadn't been to church in many years, so I had somebody sit with him and show him around. Well, as we were all leaving and stuff like that, one of the parishioners came up to me and said, isn't that so-and-so? I said, yes, it is. And he says, you know what? That guy is the worst guy in the world. He cheats people. He does things, you know, and you know, he doesn't deserve to be in church.
Oh.
And I finally said to him, I says, none of us deserve to be in church. I says, but I thank the good Lord that he's had a revelation and recognized the value of what God does in his life, which has brought him back to church. What a beautiful thing that was. And he stayed going to church off and on, you know, until he finally passed away and I did his funeral. In our preparatory season, as we think to ourselves as we approach Lent, Lent for us is a time of renewal. It is a time of penitence. It is a time of focusing very carefully on God and thinking about our own weaknesses. And then somebody once asked me, he says, why is it that we have 3 Sundays in preparation for Lent? And I says, well, it's very simple, actually. I says, for those of you who are marathon runners, myself not included in that mix, right? But for those who are marathon runners, what do you do prior to a marathon? You train. You get ready. You begin to think and you begin to reflect on all the things that go on in your life. And you say to yourself, these are my weaknesses. These are the things that I do that I wish I could change. Maybe we're judgmental. Maybe we've had people who have sinned against us in our lives that we've had struggling forgiving. Maybe we've done something immoral. Or maybe we've dipped into the cookie jar too many times. Who knows? But it gives us that opportunity to think about these things. Because as we get into Lent and as we begin to think about not necessarily what we're going to give up for Lent, though that's an old practice of the church. As I mentioned to people, better to take something on, such as daily verses and Bible reading, such as daily prayer. This is a time when we try to set everything aside and we focus purely on getting to know God deeper. And in the beginning, the first way to do that is to admit our weaknesses and our faults. God loves us. We know that. He loves us unconditionally. Right? And when we come before God and we lay our sins before God and we do an inventory of our sins and these things that we do, right? And then now come into the aspect of thinking about what He did for us, right? It gives us an opportunity to cleanse ourselves. In the Jewish tradition, they have a single day that they all give their sins over to God. We take 40 days. Alright? And that's fine because maybe sometimes we have a lot to do in 40 days. But we also take time to think about the beauty of who we are as Christians and understanding the promise that God made to us. What we tend to forget, right, because we always celebrate Easter, we always celebrate these great holidays, is we tend to forget the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our salvation. He paid the price, right? Good Friday is the holiest day of the Christian year because it is the day of our redemption. It is Him paying the price for all of our weaknesses. It is Him paying the price for all the things that we do wrong. Why?
so that we can come into the presence of God, not only after we end our life here on earth, but also during the course of walking on the earth in our life as we go forward. There are many people who accept God at the last moment of their lives. It's okay, because as long as they come to realize who God is and hold on to that, give up their sins, pray for forgiveness. I've given many an absolution at the end of people's lives. But there are those of us who also recognize the importance of walking with God on a daily basis. We look for forgiveness not once in our life or once a year or even once a year during Lent, but every day to talk to God and say, God, these are my weaknesses, these are my failings. Please, please take them from me. Take these weaknesses from me. People oftentimes say to God, God, please open this door for me so I can go through. They trust in God. Some people say, God, heal me. They trust in God. Other people oftentimes say, God, make this circumstance different for me. Help me to understand. That is the trust we have in God's promises and faith. To unconditionally believe and trust in the Lord and let the Lord do it. It's the Lord's plan. It's the Lord's concept. It's the Lord's thing for our life. He knew us before we were born. He'll know us long when we come into eternity. So trusting in God is a very critical element. People feel, you know, there's just nothing I can do to make up for my sins. Absolutely. There's nothing we can do. St. Paul says, we deserve nothing but death and eternal damnation. Absolutely. We do. Every one of us. Except for the one who hung on the cross for our salvation. And that's what we're focused on. And the end of our journey during these three Sundays and all of the Sundays and days of Lent, we're focused on his sacrifice on the cross and saying to ourselves, what is it that I can do to appreciate what God has given us? What God has given me? Because he knows you and you and all of you exactly by name. He knows who you are. That colic for purity we do at the beginning of Mass. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom all secrets are hid. He looks into our hearts and he knows who we are. We can't fake it with God. But in knowing that and admitting that and focusing inside of ourselves and saying, God, these are my failings. God, these are my witnesses. These are the things that I need to do differently. Here are my sins. Here are the things that I have done. And here are the things I have failed to do. I have failed to talk to you in daily prayer. I have failed to read your word on a regular basis. I was so happy to see the daily breads at the back. My parish, I give everybody two daily breads. I says, here, take this one and read it, and give one to somebody who needs it. Right? Because there's always somebody we know in our lives that we can share the word with. Talk to him. Open our hearts to him. Take our quiet time and listen for his voice. Right? He will speak with us one way or the other. He knows who you are and he knows how to talk to you and to give you guidance and direction in all of these things. I always look at this penitential season, this season of purple, right, as a preparation, as an inner reflection. I want to do better every year. I try to do things like, for example, all during the course of Lent, reading all of the Psalms. Right, or reading Proverbs, or taking and tackling one section so I can read his word and get closer and closer and closer to take down the barriers between me and him. Right? And I can do that because we remember that salvation is a gift from God, but we are partly accountable for our own salvation because we can turn our backs on the gift that he's given us. We have the ability to do that, right? And that is very unfortunate because so many people have turned away from God. We are a world that is lost. And in that loss, in that problem that we face, as long as we do not have God in our lives, we have nothing to look forward to. We have no hope. And that's the beauty of what we have as Christians, the hope and the promises of God that we can always hold on to. So think of this as a time of renewal. It is a time of cleansing. It is a time to prepare ourselves
as we come into the Lenten period, when we can give ourselves over, when we recall his death and sacrifice, when we begin to think about what he went through for us so that we might have salvation, that we might have everlasting life. There's a sign in my chapel back home that says, "Wood on his back, stripes on his flesh, a crown of thorns on his head, but you on his mind." That is the Lord we know. That is the beauty of the Lord we know. And there is no other faith. There is no other means. There is no other way except what Christ gives us. Because no one comes to the Father except by me. And I believe that absolutely emphatically, no matter what the secular world may tell us. And so we prepare ourselves. It's a good time for renewal. Let's think about all the blessings we have in our life. All the things we have. And all the things within ourselves that we need to give up. Amen.